In our reading this morning, some people come to Jesus with news of what had just happened. We don't know any more details than what is included in this passage, but some worshipers were presenting their sacrifices, presumably at the temple. And these are believers that are there to worship, and at the command of Pontius Pilate, they were slaughtered. And so the blood of these human beings was mixed with the blood of sacrificial animals. Jesus reads their hearts, though. He says, do you think that they were worse sinners because they suffered this fate? No. Repent, or you will likewise perish. But Jesus doesn't leave it there. He also talks about another tragedy that had just happened. This one, a more random event. What insurance companies call an act of God, where we don't know what happened, if it was an architectural error, where these stones from this tower fell, or if it was the wind or a storm. Something happened where 18 people were crushed by this Tower of Siloam. Jesus says, do you think they are worse sinners? Do you think that was poetic justice, that those people died in that way? The ones in a cruel death under Pontius Pilate, and these others in a seemingly random event that they say was an act of God. On September 11th, 2001, I was in El Paso, Texas, really a world away from New York City. Even though I had visited here, my sister lived in Manhattan. I had gone up the Twin Towers in the early 90s. And when the towers came down, one of the teachers in a school that I was teaching part-time in said that this was an act of God, that it was God's judgment. Just unthinkable. And I thought about Jesus' words. No, it wasn't. It wasn't because of the sins of Wall Street. We all, under God's commands, have failed to do, and we have neglected to do the things that God has commanded. Jesus says, repent. In other words, change your mind. Change your thinking about this. Elsewhere in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he says, do not judge, lest you be judged. And so what happens to us, I think what Jesus is saying, is that when we live by these really cruel rules in our minds, where we think bad things happen to bad people, where there's all this poetic justice that we need to explain, he says we're really a prisoner of that mindset. And in some way, it will come back to haunt us if we don't change our thinking. In other words, be careful what you lay at the door of the Lord. Do not judge lest you be judged, Jesus says. And another way of saying it is that Jesus invites us to not ask the question, why? In other words, to live without a why. To not have to explain why things happen. There's actually a book called Why Bad Things Happen to Good People, written by Rabbi Harold Kushner. But Jesus doesn't attempt to answer that question. He wants us to live without a why, to live trusting that even though things happen that are cruel and seemingly random, we don't need to give a reason for why those things happen. Scripture tells us and reminds us that God is the great allower. He allows things to happen. He may not protect us from things that harm us or hurt us, but he promises inexplicably to always be with us in our suffering. And better, and even better than that, to join us in suffering. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Let's try that again. God is good. All the time, God is good. We don't need to explain away things that happen. We don't have to put on God's doorstep these tragedies that we see. And so Jesus takes us from this conversation about repenting and changing our thinking to this parable of a fig tree, where I think he's really illustrating the way we ought to think about God by contrasting two ideas of God. One is the owner of the vineyard who comes to the fig tree that isn't bearing any fruit after 3 years, and the owner of the fig tree is like the supreme being who is getting disgusted and impatient that this tree, this sinful living thing, isn't bearing fruit. But then the worker of the garden, the one who has his hands in the soil and takes care of this garden and of this tree, says, no, wait, have mercy. Give it a little more time. Let me work the soil. Let me put fertilizer on this tree. And in a year from now, if it still hasn't borne fruit, well and good. You can cut it down. God is not like the owner who gets disgusted with us and sends calamities and cruelty our way to punish us for our sins. That is a false God. God is the one who's like the worker, who sends his own son to take on our suffering, to take on calamity and cruelty as he does on the cross, to work the soil, to fertilize us so that we would bear fruit, even the fruit of his Spirit. God is the great allower. He's the one who also suffers under Pontius Pilate, like those Galileans did when their blood was mingled with their sacrifices. And here is the amazing thing. When Jesus suffers under Pontius Pilate, his blood is mingled with ours for forgiveness and for eternal life. In his death, we have triumph over our sin and death itself, and even over the evil one. Jesus tells us to live without a why for these calamities and these cruelties, but then he gives us his why. And his why is for our forgiveness, for our reconciliation, so that we would bear fruit even to eternal life. While I was away last week in California, I went to my 89-year-old cousin's memorial service. I say her age because she lived a good long life. So we celebrated her life, and then right after, it was evening, and Elizabeth and I thought we would visit Monterey Bay to go back to the tidal pools and enjoy watching the sea otters as they played and as they feasted in the ocean. And you saw them diving down and coming back up and getting on their backs and peeling away their food and eating all the way into the dark. And we both asked ourselves the same question. What do they do at night? Where do they go? It doesn't look like they're going anywhere. I thought that we might swim back to the shore and find a nice, safe, rocky place to be with away from the predators. But they just stayed out there, and so we looked it up later. And this is what they do. As they go into the dark, they actually wrap themselves up in kelp, like blankets. And you see them doing this during the day. But at night, they wrap themselves up to keep warm. And then they huddle together, and then they hold hands through the night. And so they go through their night without a why. Not worrying about predators, not worrying about the unknown. Do they understand the night like we do, that our earth is spinning on its axis? Probably not. They live without a why, but they draw together. And just as Jesus tells us, no, God is not punishing these people. We're all in this together as human beings, as believers. When one part of the body suffers, it all suffers. And so be like the sea otters that huddle together and hold hands into the dark without a why. But even better, we have Jesus. We have his why. His assurance that he is with us through the valleys of the shadow of death. As we enter our nights, he's with us. Goodness and mercy following us all the days of our lives. Until that day, he takes us to our heavenly home. In the name of Jesus, amen.